Chapter 116. I carry, therefore, the writing which, found upon me, would lead to its certain loss. I never thought of bringing any other token, nor did Mr. Airedale think of entrusting me with one possibly, because he had good experience of my faith and honesty, and owed his life to me. Apostrophe, there was a reproof conveyed in these words, which to a nature like Emma Airedale's, was well addressed. But Dolly, who was differently constituted, was by no means touched by it, and still conjured her, in all the terms of affection and attachment she could think of, not to be lured away. Time presses, apostrophe said their visitor, who, although he sought to express the deepest interest, had something cold, and even in his speech, that grated on the ear, and danger surrounds us. If I have exposed myself to it, in vain, let it be so. But if you and he should ever meet again, do me justice. If you decide to remain as I think you do, remember, Miss Airedale, that I left you with a solemn caution, and acquitting myself of all the consequences to which you expose yourself. Apostrophe, stay, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Emma one moment, I beg you. Cannot we, and she drew Dolly closer to her, cannot we go together? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the task of conveying one female in safety through such scenes as we must encounter, to say nothing of attracting the attention of those who crowd the streets, apostrophe, he answered, is enough. I have said that she will be restored to her friends tonight. If you accept the service I tender, Miss Airedale, she shall be instantly placed in safe conduct, and that promise redeemed. Do you decide to remain? People of all ranks and creeds are flying from the town, which is sacked from end to end. Let me be of use in some quarter. Do you stay, or go? Apostrophe, Dolly, apostrophe, said Emma, in a hurried manner, my dear girl, this is our last hope. If we part now, it is only that we may meet again in happiness and honor. I will trust to this gentleman. Apostrophe, no, no, no. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Dolly, clinging to her. Pray, pray, do not. Apostrophe, you hear, apostrophe, said Emma, that tonight, only tonight, within a few hours, think of that, you will be among those who would die of grief to lose you, and who are now plunged in the deepest misery for your sake. Pray for me, dear girl, as I will for you, and never forget the many quiet hours we have passed together. Say one, God bless you. Say that at parting. Apostrophe, but Dolly could say nothing. No, not when Emma kissed her cheek 100 times, and covered it with tears, could she do more than hang upon her neck, and sob, and clasp, and hold her tight. We have time for no more of this, apostrophe, cried the man, unclenching her hands, and pushing her roughly off, as he drew Emma Airedale towards the door. Now, quick, outside there. Are you ready? Apostrophe, A. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried a loud voice, which made him start. Quite ready. Stand back here, for your lives. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and in an instant he was felled like an ox in the butcher's shambles, struck down, as though a block of marble had fallen from the roof, and crushed him, and cheerful light, and beaming faces came pouring in, and Emma was clasped in her uncle's embrace, and Dolly, with a shriek that pierced the air, fell into the arms of her father and mother. What fainting there was, what laughing, what crying, what sobbing, what smiling, how much questioning, no answering, all talking together, all beside themselves with joy, what kissing, congratulating, embracing, shaking of hands, and falling into all these raptures, over and over and over again, no language can describe. At length, and after a long time, the old locksmith went up and fairly hugged two strangers, who had stood apart, and left them to themselves. And then they saw whom? Yes, Edward Chester and Joseph Willett. See here. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the locksmith. See here. Where would any of us have been without these two? Oh, Mr. Edward, Mr. Edward, oh, Joe, Joe, how light, and yet how full, you have made my old heart tonight. apostrophe, apostrophe, it was Mr. Edward that knocked him down, sir, apostrophe, said Joe. I longed to do it, but I gave it up to him. Come, you brave and honest gentleman. Get your senses together, for you haven't long to lie here. Apostrophe, he had his foot upon the breast of their sham deliverer, in the absence of a spare arm, and gave him a gentle roll as he spoke. Gashford, for it was no other, crouching yet malignant, raised his scowling face, like sin subdued, and pleaded to be gently used. I have access to all my lord's papers, Mr. Airedale, apostrophe, he said, in a submissive voice. Mr. Airedale keeping his back towards him, and not once looking round. There are very important documents among them. There are a great many in secret drawers, and distributed in various places, known only to my lord and me. I can give some very valuable information, and render important assistance to any inquiry. You will have to answer it, if I receive ill usage. Pah! Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Joe, in deep disgust. Get up, man, you're waited for, outside. Get up, do you hear? Apostrophe, Gashford slowly rose, and picking up his hat, and looking with a baffled malevolence, yet with an air of despicable humility, all round the room, crawled out. And now, gentlemen, apostrophe, said Joe, who seemed to be the spokesman of the party, for all the rest were silent, the sooner we get back to the Black Lion, the better, perhaps. Apostrophe, Mr. Airedale nodded assent, and drawing his niece's arm through his, and taking one of her hands between his own, passed out straightway, followed by the locksmith, Mrs. Varden, and Dolly, who would scarcely have presented a sufficient surface for all the hugs and caresses they bestowed upon her, though she had been a dozen Dollies. Edward Chester and Joe followed. And did Dolly never once look behind, not once? Was there not one little fleeting glimpse of the dark eyelash, almost resting on her flushed cheek, and of the downcast sparkling eye it shaded? Joe thought there was, and he is not likely to have been mistaken, for there were not many eyes like Dolly's, that's the truth. The outer room through which they had to pass was full of men, among them, Mr. Dennis in safekeeping, and there, had been since yesterday, lying in hiding behind a wooden screen which was now thrown down, Simon Tappertit, the recreant prentice, burned and bruised, and with a gunshot wound in his body, and his legs, his perfect legs, the pride and glory of his life, the comfort of his existence crushed into shapeless ugliness. Wondering no longer at the moans they had heard, Dolly kept closer to her father, and shuddered at the sight. But neither bruises, burns, nor gunshot wound, nor all the torture of his shattered limbs, sent half so keen a pang to Simon's breast, as Dolly passing out, with Joe for her preserver. A coach was ready at the door, and Dolly found herself safe and whole inside, between her father and mother, with Emma Airedale and her uncle, quite real, sitting opposite. But there was no Joe, no Edward, and they had said nothing. They had only bowed once, and kept at a distance. Dear heart, what a long way it was to the Black Lion! Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.